Blog Talk Radio.
Blog Talk Radio, good evening. It's good to have you with us tonight. Like, seriously, good to have you with us. It's Saturday night, so it's going to be a good night. Every Saturday night's a good night. Let's get YouTube in here with us tonight. Welcome, welcome, welcome. It's a beautiful Saturday night here in North Dakota. We made it all the way up to 20 degrees today, and we are now back on our way down to, you know, wherever it is that they're going to say we're going to go, but it'll be all right. It's really not that cold. It's a dry cold. You don't really feel it unless you lay down in the snow, and then you feel it, but otherwise, you really don't feel it. It's just kind of dry, and, you know, everything's all right. All right, let me just click a button here. It is Saturday Night Live, and I want to start with a different process tonight than we've ever done before. But it's all right, because I just found, I don't know, I think I already knew, I think I did, about this. But all of a sudden, I've come to the realization that Brother Amir has a program that's called the Public Reading of Scripture. And I really want to show my support. I want us to show our support for Brother Amir for all that he does for the whole world. I mean, the man is a serious, serious patriot and a serious child of God and a mighty, mighty man of God. So our title tonight is Live Full of Faith Till the Day That Jesus Returns. And Brother Amir has this program called The Public Reading of Scripture. And what do? They just read the Bible. And he's got Titus. And I've been thinking about this all day long. And so I'm going to start us out tonight with Brother Amir reading to us the book of Titus. It's going to take about 20 minutes. And then we'll come back and we'll have some teaching about how to live full of faith. Because I stand with Israel. Any of you that come and you don't like that, then go away. Well, change. But otherwise, just go away. The judgment of God is going to come upon you severe. You don't want that. And I'm not afraid to say the judgment's coming on you. You don't need any kind of deep understanding of God's children and God's word. You can see the sun every day. You can see the stars, the moon, the sky, the seasons. And it tells you who God is. Quit fooling around with your life. This is serious. This is the end of the world. And everybody can see it. Those that teach anybody to close their eyes to the reality of what they actually see every day, that's a fool. Don't be one of those. And whatever your eyes see, say, wait, I just saw that. And I am not going to be the one that doesn't understand this. I'm going to be a wise person and open up this book. You know, in all actuality, the Holy Spirit wrote through the Apostle John, you don't even need that anyone teach you. You don't even need somebody to teach you. You have the Holy Spirit. Once you're born again, he lives on the inside of you. He truly lives on the inside of you. And he's going to guide you. I was talking with a man this morning about this. Anybody that will just open up this book and start reading, God will lead you right to where you need to be and what you need to get done. And when you enter into heaven, you'll enter in and you'll have a great reward. It'll be waiting right there beside you. And why? Because you walk with God. He'll lead you to a gathering of believers. He'll lead you to a church. He'll lead you to a pastor. And he'll lead you to a place where you get yourself discipled. However, how about we let him do it? How about we let God do that leading? And not you and I be God's own personal Holy Spirit on earth, I know some people that felt like they were God's personal Holy Spirit, and they were a pain in the neck. I didn't like them at all. So anyways, welcome. And we're going to read through the book of Titus. It's going to take about 20 minutes, and then we'll be back with you. So here's my way of saying, Brother Amir, we believe in you.
Amen.
Thank you for being the mighty man of God that you are. We're on YouTube. We're on Blog Talk Radio. Join with us however you can, and it'll be a blessing in Jesus' mighty name. Hi, love. Here we go. Share the screen. This is a new way to start. I think I like it. Start the broadcast. Boom.
This is Thursday, and we are excited. We are still together here in Israel. I will actually fly out tomorrow back to where I live, which is Minnesota in the United States. Public reading of Scripture is a lost art. Many people forgot about reading the Scriptures in public. They used to do it all the time in the first century before the printing presses came out. But there is a value that is lost, and that is that you sit and you listen as a community, and we can interact with what the Spirit of God has to say for us. And today we're going to actually read an entire epistle. It's called Titus. It's a pastoral epistle. Paul wrote this to Titus as a leader, and there's a lot of qualifications. So let me just ask you, let's see, whatever church that you attend and its leaders, let's see if they measure up. Let's see if we measure up to what we're about to read in Titus. But before we begin and listen to the entire book, can you
Lord, we thank you so much that we have the privilege of coming before you and people and taking your word, the word of truth, the word of life, and reading it publicly before you and men. And Father, we ask that you will not only send your word forth to do that which it was sent for, but make sure, Lord, that it will never come back void. We ask that you will open the eyes of our hearts to understand the wonders of your word. So, Lord, we commit this short time in your hands, and we ask that your word will touch hearts and change life. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. In three chapters, Titus, I'll call them out chapter by chapter. So all you need to do is just sit back, listen as we read. Paul, a bondservant of God and apostle of Jesus Christ, according to the faith of God's elect and the acknowledgement of the truth, which accords with godliness, in hope of eternal life, which God, who cannot lie, promised before time began, but in his due time manifested his word through preaching, which was committed to me according to the commandment of God, our Savior. To Titus, a true son in our common faith, grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ, our Savior. Now, are you ready, folks? Here's where the standard starts. For this reason, I left you in Crete, that you should set in order the things that are lacking, and appoint elders...
Wait a minute, you skipped verse 4.
Oh, I skipped verse 4?
No.
Okay. To Titus, a true son... Oh, I said it. Okay. In the common thing.
Oh.
Grace and mercy and peace. Yep. Now, watch this again. For this reason, I left you in Crete, that you should set in order the things that are lacking, appoint elders in every city as I commanded you. If a man is blameless, husband of one wife, having faithful children, not accused of dissipation or insubordination, for a bishop must be blameless as a steward of God, not self-willed, not quick-tempered, not given to wine, not violent, not greedy for money, but hospitable, a lover of what is good, sober-minded, just, holy, self-controlled, holding fast the faithful word as he has been taught, that he may be able by sound doctrine both to exhort and convict those who contradict. Okay, let's continue. For there are many insubordinate, both idle talkers and deceivers, especially those of the circumcision, whose mouths must be stopped, who subvert whole households, teaching things which they ought not for the sake of dishonest gain.
Very familiar.
Whew. One of them, a prophet of their own, said, Cretans are always liars, evil beasts, lazy gluttons. This testimony is true. Therefore, rebuke them sharply, that they may be sound in the faith, not giving heed to Jewish fables and commandments of men who turn from the truth. To the pure, all things are pure. But to those who are defiled and unbelieving, nothing is pure. But even their mind and conscience are defiled. They profess to know God, but in works they deny him, being abominable, disobedient, and disqualified for every good work. Yow. For chapter 2.
Yeah. And if we talked about the elders, let's talk about the qualities of a sound church. But as for you, speak the things which are proper for sound doctrine. Doctrine is important. People try to say unity is more important than doctrine. That's baloney. Sound doctrine.
Yeah.
That the older men be sober, reverent, temperate, sound in faith, in love, in patience. The older women, likewise, that they be reverent in behavior, not slanderers, not given too much wine, teachers of good things, that they admonish the young women to love their husbands, to love their children, to be discreet, chaste, homemakers, good, obedient to their own husbands, that the word of God may not be blasphemed. I'm thinking about everything I just read, you know, in the liberal, progressive world is an abomination for them, you know.
All these reality shows me exactly the opposite.
Exactly. Likewise, exhort the young men to be sober-minded, in all things showing yourself to be a pattern of good works, in doctrine showing integrity, reverence. Again, in doctrine showing integrity, reverence, incorruptibility. Sound speech that cannot be condemned, that one who is an opponent may be ashamed, having nothing evil to say of you. Exhort bondservants to be obedient to their own masters, to be well-pleasing in all things, not answering back, not proliferating, but showing all good fidelity that they may adorn the doctrine of God our Savior in all things. Doctrine, again, remember. For the grace of God that brings salvation has appeared to all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lusts, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in the present age. And now comes a very important part. Looking for, not only that you should live in this present age just like that, but you must look for the blessed hope and glorious appearing of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ. This is looking forward to the appearing, to him appearing in the sky, to him taking us. That's the blessed hope of the believer. This is a portion about the rapture of the church, who gave himself for us that he might redeem us from every lawless deed and purify for himself his own special people, zealous for good works. Not zealous for views and zealous for attention and zealous for followers and zealous for subscribers. Zealous good works. Speak these things, exhort and rebuke with all authority. Let no one despise you.
Very sobering. Well, we got one chapter left. This is chapter 3, shorter than the rest. Remind them to be subject to rulers and authorities, to obey, to be ready for every good work, to speak evil of no one, to be peaceable, gentle, showing all humility to all men. For we ourselves were also once foolish, disobedient, deceived, serving various lusts and pleasures, living in malice and envy, hateful and hating one another. But when the kindness and the love of God our Savior toward man appeared, not by works of righteousness, which we have done, but according to his mercy, he saved us, through the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Spirit, whom he poured out on us abundantly through Jesus Christ, our Savior, that having been justified by his grace, we should become heirs according to the hope of eternal life. Wow. This is a saying, and these things I want you to affirm constantly, that those who have believed in God should be careful to maintain good works. These things are good and profitable to men. But avoid foolish disputes. See, we've been fighting over the last few years any attempt to bring us to debates and foolish the disputes and the waste of time.
Yeah,
avoid.
Instead of just
teach the word, doctrine. Avoid foolish disputes. Go ahead. Genealogies, contentions, and strivings about the law. For they are unprofitable and useless. Sorry for the laughter. It's just, Reject a divisive man after the first and second admonition.
Wow.
Knowing that such a person is warped and sinning, being self-condemned.
Wow.
When I send Artemis to you, or Tychius, be diligent to come to me at Nicopolis, where I have decided to spend the winter there. Send Zenas, the lawyer, and Apollos on their journey with haste that they may lack nothing. And let our people also learn to maintain good works to meet urgent needs, that they may not be unfruitful. All who are with me greet you. Greet those who love us in the faith. Grace be with you all. Amen. And I would say that to all of you as we close out this year. And as we remember what real leadership looks like, real followership looks like.
Doctrine. The importance of doctrine and the importance of staying away from disputes that are just silly. You know what? Just let's give Jesus to the people and let's preach the good news and the blessed hope. You see, everyone is now, you know, when is the rapture, mid-trib, post-trib, no rapture? The blessed hope is the appearance, the glorious appearing of Jesus Christ. And that appearing, remember, it's not the return of Christ. It's the appearing in the sky for us. Yeah. This is our blessed hope. Our blessed hope is not in this world. And if we live our life thinking that this world will be better, that we can build kingdom here, kiss that thought.
What a warped view of it fails to understand how beautiful our destiny is as a people.
And so, you know, we're ahead of a very busy year, 2023, the busiest year of the Oldism ministry. When it comes to traveling, when it comes to conferences, when it comes to Israel tours, we also have a tour in Turkey, Seven Churches of Revelation. We have a cruise with another conference to Alaska. And then, of course, we have tons of other online events as well. All we want is to get the good doctrine, sound doctrine, to people and to avoid foolish disputes and to move forward. We don't want to speak ill of anyone. We don't want to bash anyone. We are not in the business of doing these things. We want to reach the world with the good news and speak about the blessed hope at the same time.
Yeah, so continue to pray for us. I hope you all know we really do love you. We work hard to get you the word of God in this way, through this channel and through Behold Israel. And
let's thank all those who, this is the end of the year. People decided that one of the things they want to give towards at the end of the year when they do their taxes, whatever, is to the ministry. And I want to thank you for that. That enabled us to do all these things.
Yeah.
These are costly things. You know?
Everything, including this recording, using this equipment that we purchased with very sacrificial people like you that donate and believe in disseminating the Word of God, just as we've done, literally reading it now. Yeah. So thank you so much. I'm going to pray and ask God a blessing over every viewer. Lord, thank you for every viewer. Thank you for your Word. Thank you for what it's doing in my heart right now, and I pray that you would work in everyone's heart watching this.
Amen.
We commit, Lord, this next whole year, as we continue to read in this PRS, public reading of Scripture, that you'd open our eyes and make us sober-minded, self-disciplined, that we could be able to relate to all those values that we just read in this chapter or these chapters. Thank you, Lord, now. Blessings upon every viewer. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. So until next week. That's when I'll be actually back in the States, and you will be traveling on your Asia trip.
Right.
Do pray for us, folks. We love every one of you. Till then, God bless.
Wow. I like it. I like it. It would almost remind you, it does remind me of our Read the Word program. And we know that's been a powerful. Father, right now we pray and we bless Brother Amir and we bless Behold Israel. We bless all of the brothers and sisters of the faith that are in Israel tonight. Every messianic believer that is standing in the gap, making up the hedge and seeking to reach out and be a blessing to everyone in Israel. And we declare tonight over the nation of Israel. My goodness, it's a lot. What a small little place for so many people to hate. And yet you mock at them and you laugh them to scorn. And you said that the God of Israel sits on his throne and laughs. And he laughs them to derision. And we thank you for it, Father. Bless Israel tonight. Bless the IDF tonight. Bless all the people in them that's in the path of this whole situation. Help the we declare that the wicked terrorists have no ability to stop the innocent citizen. Have no ability. Innocent citizens will be able to leave and be out of harm's way. And we declare right now in Jesus' mighty name. In Jesus' mighty name. And may the whole world see your hand right now. In Jesus' mighty name, we pray. In Jesus' mighty name, we pray. Amen and amen and amen and amen. Now, let's turn to the book of Titus and let's deal with this thought for this evening. Live full of faith till the day that Jesus returns. Live full of faith until the day that Jesus returns. You know, the number one focus of this program is faith, because in the New Testament, Jesus said, when I return, will I really find faith on the earth? Jesus said that. When I return, will I find faith on the earth? I don't think he said it because he had doubt and unbelief that he was able to help people make it through. So many people allow distractions and confusion to break them off course and to keep them from being able to enter in. And that's our number one goal here, is to say, no, we are entering in. Do not let anyone keep you from entering in and being full of faith. When you think about it, the author and finisher of faith is Jesus, and he comes to live on the inside of us.
Yes.
So if you're walking with him every day, then you're going to be full of faith. Why? Because faith himself lives on the inside of you. When you look at it, you know, we've heard many people say it. We are not striving to reach a level come. We are fighting our battle from overcame. We've already overcome. And we're fighting from victory, not for victory. It's a very, very specific thought process that we've got to get to. So we're going to be in Luke, and we're going to be in Hebrews, and we're going to be in Titus tonight. Sounds like a good night, doesn't it?
It does.
And we've even got a good cup of coffee with us. So here we go. Hold on. We're getting real close to going. Are you closer? Just work, computer. Here we go. It's real close.
Hi, Rebecca. Glad you're here.
Hi, Rebecca. Hi, all y'all over on the YouTube. Wait, and all of you on Rumble, bless you.
Yes.
All of you on Blog Talk Radio, we bless you. Zoomers. Hold your Bible up and let's make our confession. It's right on the screen. Say it out loud right there at your house. This is my Bible. I believe what God's Word says. I am what Jesus says I am, because he is the great I am. The Holy Spirit of God, my resident teacher, is making his word come alive in my life tonight. I receive the word of God and plant him as a seed in the good soil of my heart, producing a hundredfold return and more in my spirit, soul, and body, in Jesus' name. Amen and amen and amen and amen. We'll get a few things out of the way here. Go with me now to Luke chapter 1. No, Luke chapter 18, verse number 1. I'm enjoying this share screen ability a whole bunch. And so I'm going to put them words right up on the screen. I believe we can see that good enough, well enough, sure. Just taking a look at it there. So let's read this. Then he spoke a parable to them that men ought always to pray and not lose heart. Have you ever lost heart? You know, let's just pause right there for a minute. Because Proverbs says hope deferred makes the heart sick. But then Proverbs also says, but when the desire comes, it's a tree of life. So, Pastor, how do we solve that? Well, if something in your life did not turn out the way it was supposed to, that's hope deferred. Immediately, and I want you to hear me, immediately when that happens, make a list of everything that God has done for you. Immediately. Why? Because when the desire comes, that is a tree of life. Hope deferred, it'll make your heart sick. But if you don't meditate in that hope that's deferred, and you meditate in everything I've done for you, guess what? Did I want that? Yeah. Did it work? Well, it doesn't look like it. What are you going to do about it? I'm probably not going to do anything about it. I know one thing. I'm not going to violate anybody's life with my tongue and get myself in a badder situation with Almighty God. Does that make sense? Does it work, Pastor? I'm telling you it works. There was a time in my life I had nothing more for hope than a piece of paper that said, I've walked with God this many years of my life. I'm called to preach by this verse. I've given my whole life to walk with God to get that verse done because he told me. I'm a tither. I'm a giver. I'm a lover. I'm a server. I read my Bible. I pray. I speak the word. Jesus is the high priest of my confession. I love to receive communion. Thank you, Father, for your broken body and your blood shed for me. Literally. Now, you might say, oh, Pastor, you didn't either. No, I did. I lived in that confession for, I don't know, 8 months. Who knows? Maybe a year and a half. Why? Because there seemed to be no other hope. But guess what? It didn't matter to me. Does your heart break when you don't see what happens? Yeah, it does, but whatever. What are you going to do? People are stupid. Guess what? They're stupid. And what?
You can't fix
stupid. Wait. Now I can fix stupid. Come on. Oh, she made a definition. I can't fix somebody else's stupid, but I can fix my own. Amen, sister. Now, so verse 1, all the way to verse 1. And I really want to get to Titus because there's a couple verses in there I want us to look at tonight. Men ought always to pray and not lose heart when it don't make sense or doesn't. Then you make a list of who God is to you and who you are in God and what you're getting accomplished on this earth. And then you live in that list out loud. Literally read it right out loud every single day. And when you do, it'll begin to produce faith in your heart. It wasn't long after I started reading that, and I began to say, I'm the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. And that was a powerful statement. And then I started saying, I'm like the Apostle Paul. This one thing I do, forgetting the things which are behind and pressing forward to the things which are before. And not lose heart. And the more you get the revelation that Jesus, the author and finisher of the faith, lives in you, the less bad days you're going to have. Let's keep reading. 18:2. What's our topic tonight? Live full of faith until Jesus comes. Luke 18:2 says, there was in a certain city a judge who did not fear God nor regard man. He wouldn't have qualified to be a bishop from what we just read tonight. And there was a widow in that city. She came to him saying, get justice for me from my adversary. And he would not for a while, but afterward he said within himself, though I do not fear God nor regard any man, yet because this widow troubles me, I will avenge her, lest her continual coming she weary me. Then the Lord said, hear what the unjust judge said, and God shall avenge his own elect who cry out day and night to him, though he bears long with them. I tell you, he will avenge them speedily. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man comes, will he really find faith on this earth? Now, look at verse 7. And this is the classic King James double negative. And I like it because it says, and shall God not avenge? Well, you know what? Stop the double negative. Just write it like it is. God shall avenge his own elect. God shall avenge own elect. Make it a declarative statement. Who cry out day and night to him, though he bears long with them. Watch this. And he will bear long with them. Father, in the name of Jesus, avenge your people tonight supernaturally. Avenge Israel tonight supernaturally. May the enemy wake up in the morning shaking with fear because God moved Saturday night, Sunday morning, 29 October 2023 for Israel. May these wicked and perverse people who have no fear of God or man, who have left to go around the world and make a mess, may they all return back and leave our nations void of their wickedness and their vileness. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Luke 18:8. I tell you, he will avenge them speedily. Say this with me. God, avenge me speedily. God, avenge me speedily. If you've been around this ministry very long, you understand the verses of scripture that we live on out of Proverbs chapter 6. Joel chapter 2 and Isaiah 61, those verses of scripture that say, when the thief is caught stealing, he must repay it sevenfold and give up his whole house. And then God said, my people will never be put to shame. And then God said, you will have double for your shame, double for any shame the enemies brought on you. Now, I encourage you right now tonight. I encourage you, if you haven't been making those confessions in your life over every situation where there's any kind of enemy attack, get bold in the blood of Jesus. You have been redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. And I commend you in Jesus' name. Use the blood of Jesus effectively in your life every day and demand of the enemy. You must pay and you must, I will be avenged speedily. Speedily. Don't let the enemy off. If you had a neighbor that was continually disturbing your peace and pounding on your door and punching his fist through the wall of your apartment, you would get something done. And God said, Jesus said, and God will avenge his own elect. I tell you, he will avenge them speedily. Now, you can stand every day, all you want, all day long, and say, devil, I command you to go. And I'm going to tell you something. He's not going at your command. He's going at your command that's filled with the word of God and the blood of Jesus. Because you and I can call him slew foot, split hoof, fork tail, and all the rest of it, and that don't mean a blessed thing to him. But when you say, I overcome you by the blood of the Lamb and the word of my testimony, now your words are filled with God's word, and the enemy must bow to that word. There's a lot of people that's yelling, screaming, hollering at the devil, but they don't have any word in their words. They're just angry at him. And he don't care. Enemy don't care if you call him names. What difference does it make? Call me all the names you want. I am obvious. This is what the enemy thinks. I'm obviously taking up your time throughout this day. Hallelujah. Call me more names because you're thinking about me. I'm telling you right now, I just got out of the truck a minute ago. And the thought came to my mind. That's not a success. I'm like, I don't ever fail. And shut up. Thank you, Jesus, for your blood. Thank you. Why? Because I'm not gonna use my words and my conversation with an already crushed enemy that has no ability to defeat me in any way. All I got to do is stay in the covenant, stay in the blood, and stay in the word. Look what it says, verse 8. I tell you, he will avenge them speedily. When the Son of Man comes, will he really find faith on the earth? He's going to avenge them speedily who are still standing in faith. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. We did it again. Hey, Rebecca Smith and Tracy McSwain.
Hi, Tracy.
Watch this. We did it again today. We do it every day. We walked out of our apartment, turned around to lock the door, and right on in the center of the door, it says, you are blessed when you come in, and you are blessed when you go out. And there's a piece of red duct tape on the side and over the door mantle and on the side. And we said, Exodus chapter 12, God said, when I see the blood, I will pass over you, and the plague shall not be upon you as a destruction. In the New Testament, the plague ain't upon us. God Almighty is within us. Woo! Glory be to God. Let's go to our next set of verses. You want to? I really like having the verses right up on the screen. Makes it a lot easier to talk about.
Yes.
Isn't that nice? Are they large enough letters or I need to increase them? Because I have learned how to increase them.
You have on eSport?
Oh, yeah.
I don't know how to do it on
eSport
yet.
Yeah,
that's interesting.
Just like that. Hebrews chapter 12. Well, since I got you all's attention, you go up here to the on my computer, see where it says eSport X? But my mouse is,
Yeah.
And I click on it and click on preferences,
mm-hmm.
and then you go right there and it lets you set the size of your font. So at first I thought it would be difficult to increase my font so everybody could see it, but then I came to the realization that I can change it back and forth that simply all the time. Now, remember what our title is for tonight. Live full of faith till Jesus, until the day that Jesus returns. If you don't have eSword, I encourage you to get it, even if it costs you money, because it's a powerful tool. For 25 bucks, I think it only costs like $5, but you could donate 25 and really be a blessing to the eSword people. This man has been determined to have a costless, cost-free Bible program since he started, which he started in like 2003. And until this last update, it's always been free. And I encourage you, e-sword.net, and you'll be able to get connected. It's in your store, your Play Store, whatever they call it, where you get your apps. In Jesus' mighty name. Hebrews 12:1. So therefore, since Jesus said, when I return, will I find faith? Therefore, we also, since we are surrounded by so great cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight. Think about what Jesus said in the parable of the soil. The cares of the world, the deceitfulness of riches, and the desire for other things chokes out the word. Let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily ensnares us. Everybody has an ensnaring sin that the enemy thinks he can convince you that's who you are. And guess what? He's going to use that as a fiery dart against you. And then what do you do when he does? Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. You want to say it with me? Jesus, faith himself, lives in me. Faith himself lives in you. How many? Don't raise your hand. Don't raise your hand. Elbow somebody next to you and say, whatever you do, don't raise your hand right now. How many of us have just plain forgotten that Jesus lives on the inside of us from time to time in our life? Maybe even today. I like how Brother Jesse DePlantis teaches it. And, you know, we haven't played that for a while, so it's probably about time to play it again, the fit of carnality. And where he says, oh, you want a piece of me? Well, just give me a second. I'm going to go raise my old man from the dead. Why? Because the old man's been crucified. And if you're going to pour that old man out on somebody, you're going to have to raise him from the dead in order to pour him out, because you've been made a new creation. Old things have passed away. That old life has passed away. And behold, all things. Want to say it with me? All things have been made new in our lives in Jesus' mighty name. We're going to live full of faith. That lady in Luke chapter 18, Jesus said that judge said, I am going to give this lady what she wants because she's going to wear me out. Wait a minute. You don't have to feel like you're going to wear God out. But Matthew chapter 7, verses 7, 8, and 9 says, ask and keep on asking, seek and keep on seeking. Knock and keep on knocking. For everyone that asks, receives. He that seeks, finds. To him that knocks, the door will be opened. Well, guys, I know for a number of years, it's almost seemed like there was this revelation, and then we got this next revelation, and then we got this next revelation, and then we got this next revelation. It really has been the case, because we got the Holy Spirit, and then we got the ability to pray in tongues, and that was amazing. And then we found out there's gifts of the Spirit, and then there was healings, miracles. We could lay hands on the sick, and they recover. And those were all great revelations. But there comes a point where you have to stop and say, oh, now my life is being faithful steward over all those revelations I just received. And to quit looking for that next great, amazing revelation and be faithful to the daily duty of chasing God. He'll give you more revelation. This book is filled with the revelation of Almighty God. The next revelation you got to get is that set of verses that God has brought alive inside of you day in, day out, month in, month out. And you're like, man, what is it with this set of verses? God's trying to help you get a revelation of it. So stop all your reading. Stop all your study. Stop all your listening to everybody else and everything else. And open this Bible and write it down on a piece of paper and pick it up and read it and record it and listen to yourself say it. Why? Because you got to get the revelation of it. People say, well, you know, I've heard that before. Well, heard ain't nothing. That's like saying I once ate a hamburger. I mean, thank God for hamburgers, but I want another, not the one I ate 2 years ago, right? And the same with eggs and hash browns. I had them throughout my whole life, but I want some more tomorrow. Right? And so it's faith is no different in your life. Some people are always looking for that next new revelation. And they go listen to Brother Copeland. And they go listen to Brother Hagin. And then they listen to Dr. Summerall. And they listen to Rod Parsley and John Hagee. And, you know, there comes a point where I say, no, wait a minute. Wait a minute. Focus. We had God say to us a while back, hey, thank God for all the great leaders. I'm glad you listened to them. They've taught you. What is it that you know? That's what he said to me. What is it that you know? I want to hear what you know. And it's like, well, you know, don't put me on the spot. You see, all of that, all of them know? It doesn't say looking unto Brother Jesse and Sister Kathy, who have awesome faith. It says, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, and has now been elevated to sit at the right hand of the throne of God, right where it is that God has positioned him to sit. Every one of us are placed in this body exactly where God wants us to be. Yeah, even you. And yeah, even me. And when we fight against where he sets us, then we got a problem. And when we stop fighting, and then we throw all of our energy in to becoming what he wants us to become, guess what's going to happen? You and I are going to find life and life more abundantly that's going to come to us. Well, let's go to the book of Titus. The book of Titus. I think that that was an amazing reading of the word of God. Now, here we go. And so tonight, already, we've seen persistence in asking. Pastor, why is it that God doesn't just give me what I ask for when I first ask it? Well, he does. Are you a steward of the word that brings it to pass? Or did you hear somebody say it and you're saying the same words they're saying, hoping to get the same result they got when they actually paid a serious price for the revelation that they were sharing with you? I think about Brother and Sister Copeland. There's nobody that understands faith greater than those two. Brother Copeland can tell you the story about him and Gloria coming together and everybody gets saved. Sing the same song he sang for the last 3 years. Doesn't matter. Everybody's going to get saved. Why? He has so worked the anointing of God into every area of his life that it's going to come out of him. You see, that's what you and I've got to do. That's why on this program, you hear me continually on the same verses and on the same thing. Why? Because there's only one way that you and I are going to come to the reality of the faith, and that is we got to do the basics of every day and do it every day, and we got to walk in faith and victory every day and not just pray thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven, you know, every now and then. No, living it every day all day long. I was working on my truck today, and stuff was happening, and I just underneath the truck laying in the snow said, well, I know this. God is making all grace abound to me right now. All grace. Wait, how much is all grace? How much is all grace?
All.
All grace means God is going to pour out his supernatural ability into every part of your life all the time. If you're asking for it, if you're expecting it, and if you're speaking it off your mouth. When you go to 2 Corinthians chapter 9, and it talks about sowing your financial seed, listen, you might have said, yeah, but Pastor, I've sowed, and that's never come to pass in my life. Wait, who's the liar, you or God? God said, I will not be mocked. Whatever a man sows, that he will also reap. If you sowed money, you're supposed to reap money. All right? Then what do I do when I'm not reaping as much as what I've sowed? Then you and I got to do the only wise thing, and that's go to God Almighty and say, Father, that I got to see and know and understand about you and your ways and your things in a different process than I understand it right there. Right now, because I know you will not be mocked. And whatever I sow, I am going to reap. Now watch this. Let's do this. Titus 1, I'm just going to do this first, the greeting right there. You got to love Paul's greetings. They're just amazing. Paul, a bondservant of God and an apostle of Jesus Christ, according to the faith of God's elect and the acknowledgement of the truth, which accords with godliness, or you could say, which is according to godliness, in hope of eternal life, which God, who cannot lie, promised before time began and has in due time manifested his word through preaching, which was committed to me according to the commandment of God our Savior, that's Jesus, to Titus, a true son in our common faith, grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ, our Savior. Now, let's tear this apart a little bit. He has, in due time, manifested his word. Now, think about this. The Apostle Paul receive the revelation of all of this faith in the New Testament 2,000 years ago. So what's our problem? It's the same God. It's the same Jesus. It's the same Holy Spirit. You ready for this? And he didn't have a Bible to read. But you and I do. We actually have 27 translations to read. And he didn't. We have it on an app, in a phone, in our pocket. He carried a scroll around or two, maybe sometimes. But the Word of God was so important, so valuable, and so precious because it was handwritten. They didn't carry those scrolls everywhere they went. Every time Paul preached, he didn't roll out a new scroll. It was here. Thy word have I hid in my heart that I would not sin against you. Watch this. In hope of eternal life, which God, who cannot lie, promised before time began. Now, let's look at that. Just give me a second here. 1:2. 1 Peter 1:2. First Peter, did I say that right? 1:2. All right. Can you read that? To read verse, I think just 1-5.
To the pilgrims of the dispersion in Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, and Bithynia, elect, according to the foreknowledge of God the Father and sanctification of the Spirit, for obedience and sprinkling of the blood of Jesus. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who, according to his abundant mercy, has begotten us again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled that does not fade away, reserved in heaven for you.
One more.
Who are kept by the power of God through faith for salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time.
Now, I want you to see this. In Titus, it says that God promised this before time began. Now you go over here to 1 Peter, and it says, in the foreknowledge of God. Okay? So this is long before that you and I were ever here, the world was ever here. Before time began, God set this plan in motion. And then what's the plan? That God, it's got an inheritance that doesn't fade away. It's incorruptible. And it's there for every one of us. Now, let's go to 2 Peter chapter 1. Let's just lay this up. Some of you need to write these verses down because you've heard us say them before. And they keep getting by you. But tonight, write them down so you have them as the foreordained plan of God. Listen, this is God's plan for you and me. Before there's ever a book written about it. This is God's foreordained plan, is that we would overcome. 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 2. Grace and peace be multiplied to you through the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. The more you learn about God, the more grace and peace is multiplied. And I love this verse 3. As his divine power has given to us all things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of him who called us by glory and virtue, by which have been given unto us exceedingly great and precious promises, that through these you may become partaker of the divine nature of God. Oh, somehow I didn't keep up with my verses on the screen. Somebody need to say, hey, Pastor, you're a little bit behind. By which have been given to us exceedingly great and precious promises, that through these you may be partakers of the divine nature. Say this, I am a partaker of the very divine nature of God. Now wait, it didn't say that you are Jesus. It did say you are a partaker of his divine nature. You and I are heirs of God and joint heirs with Jesus. Think about that lady who went to the judge and said, hear my case, avenge me. 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 Can somebody please get this lady and get her out of my office? Hear my case and avenge me. And what did he say? The unjust judge said, give the lady what she wants. She's wearing me out. But Luke wrote from what Jesus said, and how much more speedily will the Father answer our prayers because we stay and we pray and we say, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Let's grab another verse. Go with me to, let's go to Romans 8:29. Romans 8:29. Now, we say this all the time. We know that our 28 through 30, we know that all things work together for good to those who love God, to those who are called according to his purpose. Wait, are you just rattling it off? Or do you actually know what it means? Powerful verse. 29, look at this. For whom he foreknew. God looked all the way down through history and saw all of us. He also predestined to be conformed to the image of his son. Say this, I have been predestined to be just like Jesus. That he, Jesus, might be the firstborn among many brethren. Moreover, whom he predestined, these he also called, whom he called, he also justified, and whom he justified, these he also glorified. See, this preordained plan of God has been going through all of history. And it's like Luke chapter 4. It's not hidden from us. It's hidden for us. But you and I've got to get in there and dig it out. What's our statement what we started with? Will Jesus find faith on this earth when he comes and just learn to say it? Anytime somebody asks that question, yes, he will find it in me, because I'm going to be speaking to the mountain to be removed and be cast into the sea. Let's look at another one. 1 Corinthians 2:7. 1 Corinthians 2. This is my most favorite chapter on this page. I'm telling you, one year, 2016, God said, I want you to read this chapter every day of the year. And I don't know that I got it done every day, but I sure got it done the majority of the days. 1 Corinthians 2:7. We speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, a hidden
wisdom.
That's what you got. Wisdom and his. Oh, Jesus.
which God ordained before the ages for our glory.
Say this with me. This wisdom, belongs to me. God said it for the eternities. Think about it. Well, Pastor, how in the world do I get that? You pray in tongues. We speak. So that's Paul saying, you and me, we. We speak the wisdom of God in a mystery. Well, if you go to 1 Corinthians chapter 14, it says, he that speaks in a tongue speaks a mystery. So when you and I speak and pray in tongues and proclaim in the prayer language of the Spirit, we are speaking the hidden wisdom of God, which God ordained before the ages for our glory. Now, you and I got to say, wait a minute, this is a pretty powerful gift that I have, and it is a gift that is available for everyone. And I declare tonight that if you're one of those that's never spoken tongues, tonight's the night. Lift your hands and receive the Holy Spirit of God and allow your tongue to begin to speak the wonderful mysteries of God. How do you do it, Pastor? It's not about how. When the Holy Spirit fills you, he gives you the utterance to speak in another tongue. Say this with me. Say, I have been filled.
Therefore I speak.
Don't ever say anything else. Wait a minute. When I got out of the truck tonight, when I got my pickup down here, headed up to this to do the program, I heard the enemy say, that was a wasted day. I'm like, you can shut up. I ain't talking to you. Father, I give you glory. I give you honor. I give you the praise. This is a powerful day. I overcome by the blood of a lamb and the word of my testimony. Stop trying to even acknowledge that he spoke a word to you. Those of you that are seeking God to pray in your heavenly language, don't stop. Don't say, I'm too dumb. Don't say it's just for some. Don't say, I did it and God didn't. Well, Pastor, I would never say God didn't. Yeah, but if we're not careful with our meditation, that's what our meditation says. I did this, 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 and this, God, and you didn't move. Oops. Do not say that. Verse 9. As it is written, eye has not seen, nor ear heard, nor has it entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for those who love him. Now, that verse has been used in every denomination and some abominations. But there's a problem. They stop with verse 9 and they don't realize verse 10 starts with but. When a sentence starts with but, you got to go back and read what came before it, because but means I said that, but remember this. Now, if you'll look, 10 begins with but, 9 begins with but, 7 begins with but. So just set it up. You got to go back and read the whole chapter. Now watch. Verse 10. God has revealed these things, what eye hasn't seen and ear hasn't heard, hasn't entered into the heart of man. God has revealed those things to us through his Spirit, or through Holy Spirit. For the Spirit searches all things, the deep things of God. Now watch. This is our glory ordained before the ages. Think about what Paul said to Titus as we listen to him read it. The greatest thing Paul said, if you could put it over top of the whole book of Titus, is walk in the Spirit, don't fulfill the lust of the flesh, and be faithful to your calling, whatever that calling is. Anything special. You're called to be a man and woman of God. That's the greatest call that anybody could ever have. Anybody could ever. Let's read another foreordained verse. You want to? I'm so glad you always want to, because if you ever looked at me and said no, I wouldn't even know what to do. Ephesians chapter 1. This is another one of those great greetings of Paul. And let's, for time's sake, go to verse number 3. And we'll read down through 6. Now, I'm going to read it out of my Bible. Even though I got it up on the screen, I'm going to read it on my Bible because I just like to see it on the pages of my Bible. Anybody else like me?
Touch it.
I do. I touch my Bible. I've never worn a Bible out as fast as this one. And let me say it differently. I've never put this much wear on a Bible this quickly in all my life. Now, every Bible I've ever had has gotten lots of wear and lots of miles. Many miles. Many amazing, wonderful miles my Bibles get. Why? Because I don't just have a Bible. I use it. Let me show you this one. This is my last one. This is the Thompson Chain New American Standard. This is well worn. Oh, you got it? Just a little tiny one?
Yeah.
Little. It's all, you know, it's not, I'm not going to say it's wore out, because how can you say the Bible's wore out? But this Bible right here traveled with me and the tour pack of my motorcycle for at least 70,000 miles.
It's got some miles on it.
That one's got some miles on it right there. Now, I don't even know how I got into that, but it was good. I thoroughly enjoyed it. We're talking about God's foreordained plan, because I want us to really grasp this. This isn't the first time we've ever taught this. But we've got to grasp this truth. Quit looking for the next great revelation and do the daily duty that we've got to do every day, which is walk in faith, speak the faith, speak the word, read the word, love your brother, pay your tithe, go to church, love people, help people. Spend time alone with God today. I was just pausing I could see different men of God who I know that, which obviously God's saying, don't say that, because they just pause and they just look. And people have a hard time when you're real quiet, like he's just looking. Now, none of you can say he's looking at me, because you can't tell who I'm looking at. Right now, it looks like I'm looking at Cicely Ann. And I like to look at her. I went out to eat this morning with a friend of mine, and he invited me, so he said, hey, I got the ticket. I'm like, all right, well, if you got the ticket, I got the tip. And the young lady that was serving us did a great job. She did a really great job of serving us. But, of course, she's the same one that's in there, and we know her. And so I love it. I just reached in my wallet and grabbed a 20 and handed it to her. And she was like, wow, thank you. And the other guy's like, wow, thank you. Guys, you and I, if we'll let God bless us and we'll ask God to bless us, we can make the difference in a lot of people's lives. I love that story Brother Jesse tells about the young lady that was really in a bad financial place. And as he sat down, the Holy Spirit said, I want you to bless her. And he was sitting there with Brother Jerry. And they were sitting there eating. And Brother Jesse said, you know, what's going on in your life? Something's going on, I can tell. Like, man, I got this, and this, and I don't know where the money's going to come from. And they're like, well, how much you need? And she told him, and he said, all right. And Jerry's like, well, you ain't getting all that blessing, Jesse. I'm getting some. And she's just standing there crying. He's like, why are you here? What are you doing? Well, I'm in school. Well, how much is your school bill? And they literally paid the girl's school bill and paid for her housing. I think they even bought her a car. Well, Pastor, how could I ever do that? You can't today. But if you'll start blessing, if you'll start blessing with a $1 bill and then a $5 bill and then a $10 bill, it won't be long and you'll have a pocket full of $100 bills and God will be having you bless people all around you all the time. The greatest blessing you can ever be is when you give something to somebody and they don't have any ability to give back to you. Jesus said, when you lend to the poor, God, your Father, will repay, and God pays really good interest. Back down to Ephesians chapter 1. Because that whole... You got to stop saying those verses because that road is opening up and we could go right down. It's like a nice big exit. Got beautiful green grass all along. Palm trees are waving like that. No, we got to stay over here in this road. Did you get me some more coffee there? Verse 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ. Well, those blessings are not designed for you to have when you get to heaven. Those blessings are designed for you to use on earth, but they're reserved in heaven where moth, rust, and thieves can't get to it. We access it by faith, and it is for us to use on this earth by faith by speaking it out of our mouth. Verse number 4, just as he chose us in him, look at this, before the foundation of the world. Now, I've shown you about 5 before the foundation of the world verses so far right now. You and I got to get this. Hold it. This has been established and set up since before the foundation of this world. From before the foundation of this world. And what does it say? That we should be holy and without blame. Well, there's no way God is going to say that we would be holy and without blame unless it's possible to be holy and without blame. Don't give in to this doctrine that says, well, you know, that's what it says, but it's not what God meant. No, that's exactly what he meant. He said, be ye therefore holy, even as your Father in heaven is holy. The reason you can be holy as the Father is you have his nature. Woo! I have the nature of Christ. I have the nature of Christ. He's living now in me. Brother, can't you see I have the nature of Christ? I have the nature of Christ. What are you going to do? It's what the Bible says. And you can fight against it. You can say, well, Pastor, that's not what God really means. No, that's exactly what he means. God don't waste any words. He's not a man that he should lie. The day God doesn't hold up his word is the day he no longer is God. That verse said that we should be holy and without blame. I want you to think about it. Did you sin today? Kind of got quiet when we said that. Let's see if I can say it differently. I want to ask you a question. I'll say, did you sin today? And if you did, why? If Pastor, we sin every day in word, thought, and deed. Oh, you sin because of an old religious doctrine. I wouldn't believe that doctrine if I was you. Because Jesus said that you and I would be made perfect and live in the glory just like he lived in the glory and be one with him and the Father. That's what Jesus said to us. Well, I've tried and tried and tried to quit sinning, Pastor, but I just can't do it. I don't seem to be as strong as you. I got a revelation for you. I wasn't strong either. I was fighting with sin all the time. To him that knows to do good and doesn't do it, to him it is sin. Paul said, the good that I would, I don't do, and that which is evil, I do. Oh, my goodness, who's going to deliver me from this body of sin? Well, Jesus delivered you from the body of sin. But if you stay religious, when you become righteous, you'll still do what religion says you oughtn't be doing, and you won't be living in the righteousness of God. Look at what it says, verse 5. Having predestined us to adoption as sons by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will. Let's just check that out. I've heard people say this many times. Let me just look at this. Everybody just pause. Watch this. What these words on the bottom of the page are. The adoption of children. Quiathesia. 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 The placing of a son. The placing as a son. That is adoption. Figuratively, Christian sonship in respect to God. Now, here's the five times that this verse is used, King James Version. Romans 8:15. For you have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry out, Abba, Father. What's that mean? We are heirs of God and joint heirs with Jesus. Look at this one. Romans 8:23. And not only they, but ourselves also, which have the first fruits of the Spirit, even we ourselves groan within ourselves, waiting for the adoption. Want to say it with me? I'm already adopted.
I'm already adopted.
I'm already in the fam.
Already in the fam.
Romans 9:4. Who are Israelites, to whom pertaineth the adoption and the glory and the covenants and the giving of law and the service of God and the promises. You and I have received adoption. Galatians 4:5. To redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons. Say it with me. I have been redeemed.
I have been redeemed.
You know, did you ever hear the old song? I'm redeemed by love divine.
Oh, yeah.
Glory, glory, Christ is mine. All to him I now resign. I have been redeemed. That's a good song. Now, there's another good one. Redeemed, how I love to proclaim it. Redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. Redeemed through his infinite mercy. His child and forever I am. Redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. Redeemed. The Baptist knew this song?
I don't know.
You know.
Well, it must be. It was either singing by the Holy Spirit or
Don't worry about us. We have this Baptist thing going on between us, right? All right. Where was I at? Oh, it's over here. Say this with me. I will live full of faith.
I will live full of faith.
Until Jesus returns.
Until Jesus returns.
Now, to some of you tonight, you've heard these verses before. But you've never taken them out of the Bible and written them down in a notebook and begun to speak them out loud, out of your mouth, in faith, as though they are your own. But I got a word for you. I've been speaking over everybody that comes to this program now for 3 years that you are going to live in God and righteousness. I've been speaking it. Now, in the mighty name of Jesus, do it. I remember I told the story last week about James Wagner. Well, I on the message we played last week, I told the story about my friend Jim Wagner. And James was, he was a good man. I liked him. But hold on a second. Here we go. That one day, James looked at me like, dude, just punch me. It's what you feel like doing. I'm like, no. I ain't punching nobody that's helping me. Thank you for helping me, sir. I don't get it. I told him, I don't get it. He said, how many times have I said to you, write these verses down and begin to speak them out loud every day? And I'm like, is this a rhetorical question, or do you really expect me to know how many times you've told me to do this? And he said, no, it's rhetorical. He said, you got to get it. The only way this stuff is going to begin to happen in your life is you write the verses down and then you begin to speak them out loud. Hi, Braden. Good to have you with us, buddy.
Hi, Braden. Love you.
You got to get your whole family to be on here with you, man.
You probably get done with the program and then preach it.
Amen, amen. Preach it, buddy. Preach it, preach it, preach it. Don't ever stop. Where are we at? We're in Ephesians, and we just started talking about the fact that before the foundation of the earth, before God ever made the earth, he already had it set up for you and I that we would walk in this. Now, hold on just a second. I got to find my verse again here. Second Timothy 1. Go with me to Second Timothy 1. This is the foreordained plan of God. Wow. Let's read 8 and 9. 2 Timothy 1, 8 and 9. Hold on. I'm going to put it up on the screen. All right. I already took the screen off, didn't I?
Yeah.
Yeah. All right. Hold on. I'm going to share it again because I want to put this on there. No, let's do 8 and 9, and then we're going to come back and grab 6 and 7. Therefore, do not be ashamed. Lost my pen. 2 Timothy 1, 8. Oh, where? All right, here we go. Do not be ashamed of the testimony of our Lord. Do not be ashamed of me, his prisoner. Share with me in the sufferings for the gospel, according to the power of God. God, who has saved us, and God, who has called us with a holy calling. Look at this. Not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was given to us in Christ Jesus before time began. God did this in Jesus for us before time began. Some of you might just right now, you might oughtn't just say right out loud, oughtn't. If you don't know what oughtn't is, it's a good word in Southern Kentucky that means you ought to say. You oughtn't say, God has loved me from a long time ago. You see, look what it says. Has saved us. God has called us with a holy calling, not according to our works. How many of us got works that just didn't ever deserve God to do anything for us? Huh? That's every one of us. But according to his own purpose, according to his own grace. When you see that and, that conjunction, you can put that initial phrase on both of those words. According to his own purpose and according to his own grace, which was given to us in Christ Jesus before time began. It was ordained for us to walk in these since before the foundation of the world. Well, Pastor, then it should just automatically happen for me. It's not going to automatically happen unless you and I grab a hold of it and say, come to pass in my life. Because God can't force anything on anybody. He has to offer it to you, and you have to receive it. Otherwise, it's not going to come to you. Let's go back to verses 6 and 7. And we'll probably make this the end of our verses tonight. We never had Brother Roger with us all night. Brother Roger, we miss you. And Brother... And Brother Richard, look, we love you guys. We miss you.
Well, we're so glad you, Sunday, Tracy, and Rebecca are with us.
Sunday, Tracy, Rebecca, Braden, Brother Dan, Cicely Ann, Ripley, and Roman. Now look at 2 Timothy 1:6. It's on the screen right here. I remind you to stir up the gift of God, which is in you through the laying on of my hands. Pastor, you can't lay hands on me. Well, Dr. Oral Roberts said over and over, just put your hand up to the TV and let your fingers touch mine. And there were thousands of people who were saved and healed and filled with the Holy Spirit, began to speak in tongues by that process. They would just walk up. And the number of stories about people that were slain in the spirit when they let their finger touch his finger on that TV screen, slain in the spirit, got up, healed, speaking in tongues, filled with the Holy Spirit. Why? Because an act of faith was to reach their hand out. And then when their act of faith connected with his act of faith. The enemy's like, well, one thing about Oral Roberts, he can't get all over the world. And Dr. Roberts says, well, somebody buy me a TV camera. Let's go all over the world. Dr. Roberts was all over the world in 1950. In 1950. Dr. Roberts had ABC, NBC, and CBS film his crusades. Now you wouldn't even want them to drive their truck up in front of your crusade. Verse 6. I think that is remind and stir put together. I remind you, stir up the gift of God, which is in you, through the laying on of my hands. 7. Here's one of those verses that you got to just write down, and then you live in it. God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power, a spirit of power, a spirit of love, and the spirit of a sound mind. Say with me, I have a sound mind. You do. Doesn't mean that you listen to sound with your mind. It means it has great strength. Let's just pull it up there. I'll show you this, how this works. Sound mind, you can see on the bottom half of the screen right here. I just highlighted it. It's called G4995 in the Strong's Concordance. And that means discipline, self-control, sound mind. And it's pronounced sophronismos. That's interesting. Did you know you have a sophronismos?
I did.
Sophronismos. Say with me, I have a sound mind because I know the word of God. See, God's not given us a spirit of fear. So that means in this Halloween season, don't go baptize yourself in the spirit of fear and then expect God to willingly get you out of it and for there not to be any tremors or scared or fearfulness. God's not giving you the spirit of fear. But if you go hang out with people who live in fear and walk in fear and think it's funny to make people afraid, that's what you're going to reap. And God's up in heaven saying, I've not given you that spirit of fear, but you keep going and fellowshipping with it. And when you go fellowship, I can't tell you, I'm going to give you conviction in your heart saying, don't do that, don't do that, don't do that. But if you go past the conviction and go do it anyways, I have to let you do it. And soon my voice is silenced and that voice is the loudest one to hear. God has not given us a spirit of fear, but power, love, and a sound mind. And now let's open up to Titus, and I'm going to end in Titus, because that's where we started. I'm in Titus 1:15. Watch this. To the pure, all things are pure. But to those who are defiled and unbelieving, nothing is pure. Has there ever been a more appropriate verse about what's going on in the world right now today? Even their mind and conscience are defiled. They profess to know God. Get it up here. Verse 15, to the pure, all things are pure. But to those who are defiled and unbelieving, nothing is pure. Even their mind and conscience are defiled. They profess to know God. Look what it says. In works, they deny him. Wow. Being abominable, disobedient, and disqualified for every good work. That's pretty serious. Let me look at that abominable. I mean, I know it's the word abomination, but detestable, specifically idolatrous. Disgusting, detestable, idolatrous, abhorred, and abominable. Wow, look at this verse. Wow. To render foul, to cause to be abhorred, to turn oneself away from on account of the stench. Wow. Wow. I am pure, and I see things as pure. I think it's the greatest thing that I've seen in this whole deal with Israel and Hamas and Hezbollah. The Israeli people are pure. I believe many of the Palestinians are pure. But continually, let me say it differently. The UN has continually told everybody, you can't take Hamas out. Well, Hamas is destroying the Palestinians. I think you and I are going to be surprised how many of them are going to say, we want to live under the protection of Israel.
Yeah.
I think you're going to see
it. Now they're just terrified, too.
I think you're going to see it. Because they look and see, Israel's at peace. They love one another. That's what the Hamas leader's son said. These people love one another. You're not going to put a woman and a kid, child out in front of them. They're going to put themselves in front of the woman and the child. See, that's the nature of man.
Yeah.
That's the nature of a real man. Yeah. See, look at verse 15, Titus 1:15. To the pure, all things are pure. To those who are defiled and unbelieving, nothing is pure, and their mind and their conscience are defiled. And even though they profess to know God and their works, they deny him. Because God would never murder a child. God would never murder an old woman. Just to go do it, it ain't going to happen. God loves people, especially in the day that we live today. He's not willing that any should perish. He's not looking for a stick to beat you with, for his blood to love you with and to bring you into the kingdom of God. Quit worrying about religion. Quit worrying about the church down the street from your house. Get your Bible and begin to say, God, reveal yourself to me in a manner that I can understand you. And if you want to get real biblical, you can say, and show yourself to me through an infallible proof and teach me the ways of the kingdom. Acts chapter 1, verses 1 through 3. And God loves to do it. God loves to do it. From before the foundation of the world. Titus said, in hope of eternal life, which God, who cannot lie, promised before time began. That's the promise that's going to cause you and I to be standing in faith when Jesus returns. Don't be a foolish virgin. Have a lamp and no oil. Don't be that. Wake up every day and say, I choose to fill up my lamp today. Pray in the Holy Ghost. Read the Word of God. Love your brother. Do good to everyone that you can possibly be good to. And in so doing, you will find yourself right in the center of God's will for your life. Now, here we go. Throw up a couple hearts. I want you tonight, right now, I want you to lift up your hand toward the screen and let Sister Leanne and I pray for you right now. Father, in the name of Jesus, go ahead.
Father, in the name of Jesus,
we bless each of these who are with us tonight.
We bless each of these who are with us tonight.
We declare faith comes to your life.
We declare faith comes to your life.
It fills your soul, and you walk with God every day.
Walk with God every day.
Just put your hand right up and just touch the screen. Just touch it. There's no glory in me, but Jesus. And that glory that's in me comes to you in Jesus' mighty name. In Jesus' mighty name. In Jesus' mighty name. Be filled with the Holy Spirit. Receive the gift of the Holy Spirit right now by the laying on of hands. In Jesus' mighty name. In Jesus' mighty name. Lift your hands and say, I receive. I receive. I receive it. In Jesus' mighty name. Jesus' mighty name. Say it. I am living full of faith.
I am living full of faith.
Till the day that Jesus returns. I could have just taken off right there and preached another whole sermon. I really could.
I know.
But I didn't. But I am still contemplating it. Here we go. Let's receive communion together. Maybe all of you are a little tired from the cool air and all the snow. Oh, maybe you didn't get that.
I don't think they said it yet. Just kidding.
Did we look and see what the temperature was?
It got up to 24.
It made it all the way to 24 today.
It did, for a brief moment.
It was so warm that the snow was melting right on the ground. Oh, it's 19. It's still nice. It's balmy. It's balmy and breezy. Going to go all the way down to 14 degrees tonight. Isn't that wonderful?
Our flowers are probably frozen.
But, you know, in not too many days future, we're going to be clear down to zero already. Not yet. God bless you, Cindy. Thank you for being our friend and partner. Here we go. Let's receive communion together. Now, as we say all the time, remember this. This is how we do it here. We don't do it right and everybody else does it wrong. We just do what God gave us an assignment to do. Amen? Now, we know according to the Word of God that anyone who is born again can receive the communion element. If you are a member of the body of Christ, by praying the prayer of salvation, then you can receive the communion elements. Even Braden, at his age, can receive the communion elements because you've prayed the prayer of salvation with us. So we're going to read these verses, and then we're going to pray the prayer of salvation. That's how we do it here. Then we'll talk about the verses a little bit, and then we will... receive the elements together. That's our assignment in God. Thank you for being here and being part of it. When you're at home, I encourage you to open your mouth and read these verses right out loud with me. 1 Corinthians 11:23-31. For I received from the Lord that which I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the same night in which he was betrayed, took the bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me. Verse 25, in the same manner, he also took the cup after supper, saying, this cup is the new covenant in my blood. This do, as often as you drink it, in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death. Let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of the bread and drink of the cup. For if we judge ourselves, we would not be judged. 1 John 4:17 and 18. Love perfected among us in this, that we might have boldness in the day of judgment, because as he is, so are we in this world. There is no fear in love. Perfect love cast out fear, because fear involves torment. He who fears has not been made perfect in love. Now, I want to do something right now, because I keep thinking about it and I just don't get it done. Watch this. But perfect love cast out fear and the torment. That comes with it. And now, pray the prayer of salvation with us.
It's your own amplified version.
It is.
And, amplified version.
And what you'll always remember about me, when you stand before Jesus, he'll say, Pastor Samuel, helped you understand. Take those verses off the page and make them personal. It was one of the greatest revelations I ever received. And Dr. Barclay would say, and write in your Bible, the Kabbals are blessed when they come in. Why? Because that's how God wants you to do it. He wants this word to be that personal to you. Pastor, don't you think that's sacrilegious? No. Not doing it is sacrilegious. Jesus paid his blood for this. Oh, I'm preaching.
What?
Let's pray the prayer of salvation. No matter who you are, pray this prayer out loud. Mean it from the depths of your heart, and transformation will come to you immediately. I thank you,
God my Father, that in the fullness of time,
you sent the fullness of Jesus to redeem my life by his blood from destruction. Thank you, Jesus, for giving yourself for me so that I can be made complete in you every day. According to John 3:16, I choose to believe you are the only begotten Son of God, and you rose again on the third day. Reach out your hands and say,
I receive you, Jesus,
into my life. I receive all of your grace and mercy, all of your love and righteousness, filling every part of my life with all the fullness of God. Thank you that none of my sins are imputed against you. I am now a new creation in Christ Jesus. Fill me and baptize me with the Holy Spirit and fire, so that I live in power, understand the word of God, pray in my heavenly language, and live a successful life as a believer every day. Surround me with godly people who will help me know how to walk with you every day. In Jesus' name I pray.
Amen. Amen.
Think about that. God Almighty just filled you. You said, fill me. And he said, well, sure. It's not because of what you've done. It's not because of your family name. It's not because you're rich or you're poor. Because he did this because of his own desire to do it for you. God said to children of Israel in the book of Ezekiel, I will give you a new heart. That's what he's done for you and me. I'll give you a new spirit. That's what he's done for you and me. And then he closed with the robes of righteousness and the garment of salvation. Your darkness just turned to light, and your fear turned to faith. You are made into the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus, and you are an heir of God and a joint heir of Jesus. Those verses are found 2 Corinthians 5:17 through 21, Romans 8:14 through 17, Galatians chapter 2, verse 1. Say it with me. Jesus just came and lived in the inside. Think about it. God is in you. God is in you. There's my email address. There's our website. Make sure you like, subscribe, and hit the bell on all of our stuff so you're notified whenever we come back on. I'm going to tell you right now, this kind of believers circle, you call us a church, but you might call it a circle. You might already have a church. It's going to become of the most absolute importance in the last days, because we've got to encourage one another in the things of God, so that people will walk with God no matter what. This day is going to get really dark. This day is getting really dark. In Isaiah chapter 60, God said, darkness will cover the earth. Gross darkness, the people of the earth. Is there gross darkness on people today? But then he said, but you arise and shine because your light has come. Well, who's the light? It's Jesus, and he lives in you. And now that the light of the world, Jesus, lives in you, you are now the light of the world. And you should bring peace and happiness and joy to everybody you meet. Pastor, I'm just a gnarly old cuss. Well, you gnarly old cuss, quit being gnarly and cussing and find Jesus. Here we go. Get your communion elements out. I could tell I was going to go to preaching, so I just stopped. Here we go. Thank you for everybody that's with us tonight. Please don't go away when communion comes on. Enter in. Seriously, enter in. It might not be the way you've always done it. That don't matter. You're with us tonight, so do it like we do it. When you go be with them, then do it like they do it. I can guarantee you, Moscow and Mesopotamia do not do communion the same way. But they do have something that represents the fruit of the vine, and they do have something that represents bread. And then their whole process is going to be led by colloquialism and by how they view what Jesus did here. And don't point your finger at anybody and say, you're wrong and I'm right. Don't do that. I mean, that's what Titus said to me. Am I preaching again? Pray this prayer with us. Every one of these verses, every one of these lines is a verse of scripture. Jesus, as you instructed your disciples, I receive these elements today. This bread representing your broken body, and this juice representing your blood poured out for me. I do this in remembrance of you.
All you did for me.
Pray this out loud. Jesus, you were wounded for my transgression. You were bruised for my iniquity. The chastisement for my peace is on you, Lord. And by your stripes, I am healed. In my spirit, in my soul, and in my body. In my mind, in my will, and in my emotion. There is nothing missing. And nothing broken. All trauma is removed from my life now. Every joint supplying in my body. From your broken body, Jesus. In the body of Christ in my community. And around the world. Wherever you send me for this prayer. I receive the bread, your body broken now, in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's receive the bread together. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you that you endured the cross. For us. And then you tore the veil of the temple from the top to the bottom. And we could enter in. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. And now I bless this fruit of the vine in obedience to your word, in remembrance of your blood shed to provide redemption's price. And righteousness for me. By your blood, Jesus, I have been redeemed. By your blood, Jesus, I have reconciliation with God, my Father. By your blood, Jesus, every sin has been placed in remission in my life. I am a new creation. Recreated in Christ Jesus. Old things have passed away, and now all things are made new. By the blood of Jesus, I come boldly to the throne room of grace, where I find mercy, grace, and help for my assignment, my dominion mandate, on this earth, by your blood, Jesus, and by the word of my testimony, the accuser of the brethren is cast down forever, and there is no condemnation in my life. By your blood, Jesus, every plague must, every curse must pass over. And cannot be on me or my family. By your blood, Jesus, my conscience is purged. My robes are made white. And I will always be the glorious church without spot, wrinkle, or any other blemish when you come for me. I receive the fruit of the vine now, in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Amen. Let's receive fruit of the vine. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you that your blood was shed so that mine wouldn't have to be. Thank you that the veil of the temple was rent from the top to the bottom. We were given access to the Holy of Holies. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
And amen. Amen. Well, let's sing. Let's sing about the blood of Jesus. I always hear Charity Gale. I just don't know the song good enough. So, Andre Crouch. The blood that Jesus shed for me way back on Calvary, the blood that gives me strength from day to day, it will never lose its power. It reaches to the highest mountain, and it flows to the lowest valley. The blood that gives me strength from day to day, it will never lose its power. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
How about, Sister Leanne, you read Ephesians chapter 3, verses. And I'll read the Job 33 verses. And the mighty Ephesians 3, and it's like 17 through 21.
Yep. That Christ may dwell in your heart through faith, that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the width and length and depth and height, to know the love of Christ which passes knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. Now to him who is able to do exceedingly, abundantly, above all that we ask or think, according to the power that works in us, to him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end. Amen.
Amen. And amen. And I love it. He said exceedingly, abundantly, above. That's really big. Wait, do you realize God wants to do that for Braden right where he's at right now? How cool is that? Here we go. Job 33, 14. For God may speak in one way or in another, and yet man does not perceive it. In a dream, in a vision of the night, when deep sleep falls upon men, while slumbering on their beds, then he opens the ears of men and seals their instruction in order to turn man from his deeds and conceal pride from man. He, God, keeps his soul from the pit and his life from perishing by the sword. If you didn't get anything we said tonight and it didn't make sense, get this, that tonight in a dream, God will speak to you. You may remember it and then you may not. It may be a happy dream, and it might be a dream that makes you go, wait a minute. If you have one of them wait a minute dreams and you're like, well, I don't know what to do with this, then send an email to Sister Leanne and I. If you're a lady, Sister Leanne will deal with it. You want to share personal things with the person. But we want to help you because we want to see dreams come alive inside of everyone's, because it's what God promised. In the last days, he would pour out his spirit on all flesh, and your young men and your old men, and on your men servants and maid servants, I'd pour out my spirit. And you'll see dreams, and you'll prophesy in Jesus' name. Well, shall we see you again tomorrow at noonish Eastern, 11 Central. This is what we have to say. Remember this? We love you.
We love you.
We do.
And God loves you.
And God loves you.
And
Jesus is
Lord.
And Jesus is Lord. We will be faithful. We will be faithful when Jesus comes. In Jesus' name. Amen and amen. See you soon.